Hello and welcome to Comic Talk Today for Wednesday, May 16th, 2018. And yes, this is an episode of The Comic Predictor. But first, I want to talk about some news. And boy, is there a lot of news to talk about. The one I'm most excited about, I think, I'm still processing, is that Epics has ordered a 10-episode Alfred Pennyworth TV series. Now this I find interesting, because I often think about the fact that Alfred doesn't get nearly enough credit like he should. He's been with the Bat family for, 70 years about. He was gone for a little bit in the 60s and he came back. And he's always been an interesting character. And there's been various reimaginings over the year that have given him really interesting backstory. And it looks like what this show will be about is about Alfred's time in the military. And I know this has been discussed a little bit in the Gotham TV show, if you're following that. And it looks like there won't be any Batman, nothing like that. I do believe that this particular show, even though it's not a Fox show, it's going to be on Epics, which I don't even know what Epics is. They change channel names all the time. I'm assuming it used to be called something else. Anyways, apparently this show will be set in the Gotham universe. Now, I doubt it's going to be the same actor because this obviously takes place long ago in the past. But it's nice to see Alfred getting a little bit of recognition and getting his own TV series. So I'm very much looking forward to this. Again, it's 10 episodes. It's going to be showing on the Epics channel, whatever that might be. Maybe you'll have to subscribe to Epics just to see what this is. And there's no release date yet. I don't think it's even in production yet. It's just been announced. But I look forward to checking out what this will end up being. And sticking with the TV and movie announcements, I want to talk a little bit about this Doom Patrol that was just announced for the DC Universe streaming service that'll be coming up. It's produced by Greg Berlanti. Of course, we know the Berlanti Arrowverse on the CW. Jeff Johns, Jeremy Carver, and Sarah Schechter. It's going to be written by Jeremy Carver. And somehow it's going to be spinning out of the events of the Titan series. Now, it's not been specified whether the series will happen before or after Titans, or if they'll be maybe intertwined story-wise. But it's going to be a 13-episode series premiering sometime next year in 2019. And I find that really interesting. Now, I'm not reading the current Doom Patrol on Young Animal, and I'll talk about Young Animal here in a few minutes. I'm not reading the current series, but I have read past series of Doom Patrol, and I find the characters really fascinating. And I like that DC is doubling down on this completely wacko team of characters and putting a TV show, even though it's going to be on their streaming service. I'm glad that they're taking a chance on that. Now, there's no further details on it, but I'll be following up closely. And I gotta say, whoever's designing all these logos for the DC streaming service TV shows and movies, you're doing a bang-up job. They're awesome. I love the artwork they're using on these things, and they're all kind of similar in design. Since I'm talking about a Young Animal thing, I guess a current Young Animal thing, there's been a bit of news about what's going on with the Young Animal line. And I don't know of the listeners that I have who actually follows the Young Animal books, but I've been a huge fan of Mother Panic ever since its inception. I'm really digging the current run that's written by Jody Hauser. The artist is Mustafa, I can't remember his last name. But it's a fascinating book. Really, really love it. And apparently DC, even though they love it, is kind of scaling back on Young Animal a little bit. And I'm not surprised, to say the least. Young Animal was a really interesting initiative, of course. It's Gerard Way that's leading those comic books. And if you don't know who he is, I mean, you probably do by now. Every time I go to a con and he's there, usually like, what is it? I think NC Comic Con, he's always there. I'm assuming he lives in North Carolina. He's got a line around the building and out the back. It's crazy. But he used to be the lead singer for My Chemical Romance, a band which I really liked back in the day when they were putting out music. Young Animal has had a lot of issues with scheduling, and I don't think that's a surprise. And I often talk about scheduling with regards to other books. I know specifically I've talked about it with like Doomsday Clock, for example, which keeps on getting pushed back, and then they reschedule it back to the original date and it gets pushed back. By the way, the book that was scheduled to come out next that was pushed back is going to be published in July again. So maybe they're getting back on schedule with that book. But it's tough to sell comic book readers on a new line of books when you cannot get the creative team to put those books out consistently on time like they should be. And this is particularly important for a big publisher like Marvel and DC, I would say, because they depend on those sales. Because the storylines don't stop just because a book stops. I think that's one of the problems that a lot of people had with the Milkman Wars, and I don't know if you've read that. It was really interesting, but the problem is all that stuff was told out of order. I think originally it was supposed to be you have to read all the way through Doom Patrol number 11 before you started with the Milkman Wars, and you know, because of the delays in Doom Patrol, there was a lot of stuff that was supposed to be known by the time Milkman Wars came out that wasn't known. And as a result, the Milkman Wars suffered, and it didn't sell well, and people were extremely confused and almost, I don't want to say hated, but a lot of people disliked it because of the fact that you didn't have the full story. So it's important to stay on schedule, and as a result, because they're having issues keeping books on schedule, DC is pulling back a little bit. Now, I don't think that means that the line is canceled in any way, shape, or form, but what it does mean is that it'll give those creative teams time to catch up and hopefully get back on schedule moving forward. Because I think the initiatives of the types of books that they're doing over there, like Doom Patrol, Mother Panic, Eternity Girl, which recently launched, those are really interesting books and a little bit outside of the box. It's almost like the type of books that Vertigo used to do back in the day. And I know Vertigo's still doing a couple books here and there, but it seems to me like the creative, innovative stuff is happening more at Young Animal than it is at Vertigo. And if you disagree, let me know, but I'm not seeing a whole lot of interesting things over at Vertigo proper. And of course, Vertigo is a DC property, so there's that. Anyways, I'm looking forward to this Doom Patrol TV series and really all the shows that they've announced. I don't know how they're going to do a live-action Swamp Thing series on that thing. It better be incredible, because that's going to be tough. That is going to be really tough. And I know the original Swamp Thing movie was practical effects. It was a guy in a suit. But it did not age well, let me just say. I have watched that fairly recently. It did not age well. So I'm hoping they're able to pull it off with the expertise that we have today with makeup artists. While we're on the movie TV front, I want to talk about Deadly Class. Because I saw this trailer. And I know this came out probably like 2-3 days ago. But I was blown away by this trailer. As a matter of fact, I'm so blown away, I'm going to go ahead and start rereading Deadly Class. Now, yes, I have read some Deadly Class, but not a whole bunch. I read, I think, the first volume in trade, and I thought it was great. But it's one of those things where I just forgot all about, and I've been reading so many other things that I never went back to it. But Deadly Class is really fantastic, and this trailer, I mean, if you're a fan of Deadly Class, if you know who these characters are, I know I was talking to a few people that were extremely excited because they really got these character designs and the attitude of the characters just dead on. And this is a sci-fi series that's going to be coming out sometime in 2019. They haven't released anything yet. But go check out that trailer. I'll have it in the show notes. Check it out. Let me know what you think, because I think this could be sci-fi's hit of 2019. Especially now that they're getting rid of The Expanse for some amazingly crazy, stupidly insane reason. I don't know why. My assumption is The Expanse is just too costly, and they can't justify the cost of the series. But Deadly Class looks really, really good, so I'm looking forward to that one. Let's go into a bit of comic stuff. There's been some more information released about the Extermination event slash miniseries slash event miniseries slash crossover slash whatever. I don't even know. /. Episode title. And it's going to be written by Ed Brisson with art by Pepe Larraz. And I love Pepe Larraz's art. He's freaking incredible. And of course, we've seen some teasers over the last month or two about what Extermination is going to be. And it looks like Ed Brisson has revealed some information about what the series is going to be. And of course, it will have to do heavily with the original five X-Men, right? So the original Cyclops, the original Jean Grey, Iceman, Beastman. Or the Beast, and who am I missing? Iceman, Jean Grey, Cyclops, Beast. Is that it? I feel like I'm missing somebody. Oh, and Angel. Of course I'm missing Angel. Poor guy. Poor Warren, man. Bring Archangel back. He was the best. Anyways, this is going to tackle, it seems, what the repercussions are of the X-Men of the 60s coming through time into the present. Because, of course, it makes total sense that if the X-Men are not around during the 60s, 70s, and 80s to kind of stop some of the threats that they had to face during those years in the comics, that the timelines would be different. And I'm extremely surprised that this has not been tackled before. Why has it taken so long? It's so freaking obvious. I mean, when Marvel started relaunching all the X-Men books, it seems to me like it would be the perfect opportunity to start tackling some of that stuff. And also, we've kind of seen a little thing here or there that is different. I think most people just chalked it up to a quote-unquote reboot. But, yeah, I'm looking forward to this thing. I don't know how many issues it's going to be. I haven't checked on that. The series does premiere in August, and I will definitely be picking this up. I hope that whatever they have in mind for what this becomes will have lasting repercussions in the X-Men universe. Because one thing that was great about the X-Men back in the day is that, yes, everything was super complicated, the timelines were all so convoluted, but in some respects, even through all that, it made sense. And it added a certain level of mystique, no pun intended, to the X-Men that I think made him fascinating. It was like reading a soap opera in comic book format for dudes who can say they can read comics, but they can't say they watch soap operas. Don't laugh, I know some of you out there watch soap operas. Anyways, Extermination number 1, again, Ed Brisson and Pepe Larraz, that's going to be coming out in August. I am very much looking forward to it. I know this will be as part of the top of the pile the week that it's coming out. And while we're on the comic book front, then before we get to the comic predictor, I want to talk about some ordering. No surprise, Justice League number 1, that'll be coming out here in a few weeks, in June, is the number 1 advanced pre-ordered comic in existence, well, for that month at least. And I hope it does well. I enjoyed the first issue. I know I talked about it a couple days ago on the Top of the Pile episode. I was very surprised that I enjoyed it as much as I did. Issue 2 is, of course, out this week because it's a weekly 4-issue series. And then at the end of the 4th week, we'll be getting, in the 5th week, we'll be getting Justice League number 1. So doing very well for DC. And then doing really well for Marvel is Venom, which I know some people laughed at me. Some people can't understand why I like it, and it's fine. I've talked to a few of you privately. I understand why you don't like it. I respect your opinions, but I thought it was great. I love the fresh new take on this. It looks like Venom number 1, not only did it sell 200,000 copies, apparently. We'll see if that number is correct when the sales come out for May next month. But it's done so well that it's going to second printing even after the 200,000 copies. I think that's amazing. And I'm not sure what the reason is for all that. You know, Donny Cates has been with Marvel for a little bit now. He's done other books for him that do fairly well. I don't think they've done this well. And I don't know what it is about Venom that has people so excited to be ordering so many copies of it. Congratulations to Donny and Ryan Stegman and Marvel for a bang-up job on this book. I thought it was really, really good. Thoroughly enjoyed it. One listener who shall remain nameless compared it to Exo Manowar at Valiant, which I thought was hilarious. So thanks for that. It made me laugh. The final bit of comic news that I want to talk about. I know some people want me to talk about the Stan Lee stuff, the Neil Adams stuff. I'm not going to talk about today. I'm actually going to be discussing that separately in another discussion on Friday's episode. But this is DC news, and it looks like DC is going to be raising prices on all their books to $3.99. Now, of course, this is not surprising, but I will say this. Normally, this Wednesday episode of Comic Talk Today is called the Comic Predictor because I predict some books that I think will be worth picking up that maybe you weren't thinking about picking up. But this week on Comic Predictor, I'm going to call it Comic Predictor because we predicted this, what was it, last week, 2 weeks ago, when we had our discussion that started on Twitter about comic book pricing. And I had Paul Tesler on the podcast for that episode. Go check out his show, Comics in Black and White. I talked a little bit about it when I had Ed on last week as well. Go check Ed out at the Mighty Thorcast. But here we go, $3.99 across the line. Now, of course, it was really exciting when DC Rebirth launched because everything was $2.99. And sure, a lot of the books were coming out every 2 weeks, so really you were paying like $5.98 for a book, but then you were getting 44 pages and it was great. Now, all the books are going to $3.99. And I think that's going to be really tough for a lot of people because I think it's probably okay to warrant $6 a month on a particular series if you really love it. There's, of course, series that I do still pick up. Even I will pick up at the $3.99 every 2 weeks, like, for example, Batman and Detective, because I always have to get those books. But I think this will impact a lot of comic readers a little bit negatively, because then you're spending pretty much what would account to almost an additional book if you account for the price increase. And that's going to be a pretty tough pill to swallow for a lot of people. You know, if you're buying a lot of DC books, you might end up spending 30-40% more for everything that you're getting. And of course, that 30-40% more that you're getting, you could be spending on, let's say, books that I talk about on the Comic Predictor, or books that I discuss on the Top of the Pile episodes. So there's that to think about. Again, this is not surprising, though, because Marvel's been doing this for many years. What's kind of a downer is that they're getting rid of all the digital codes, and I don't use the digital codes, it doesn't matter to me. I don't do it with Marvel either. You know, I either buy print or digital, and, you know, if I buy print and there's a code, like, that's cool, but I don't care. Like, I'm buying it in print for a reason. Just like when I buy something digital, I buy it digital for a reason. But I know this will impact some people who like to have that secondary means to kind of just have a reader copy and then file their print copies in a box. And that's fine. Unfortunately, you're not going to have that anymore. Now, this won't affect completely, entirely all of DC's line. There's some stuff that will remain at $2.99. Those will be the young adult books, the young reader books, and then, of course, the New Age of Hero titles will remain at $2.99 as well. And I think that's pretty smart for them. Number one, of course, for the kids, you want to bring them into comics and spend a little bit less money. But with the New Age of Hero lines, I don't think this line is doing very well for them. And I know I said, I think maybe at the beginning of this week or maybe in an episode last week, that I don't feel like any of these books will exist past issue, like, we'll just say 6 through 12. I don't think any of them will go past 12 issues. And I think for most of the stories that we're being presented, that's probably okay. Except for a few that, if the series end up going much longer, I think you could expand what the creative team is trying to do much more. So, for example, the Terrifics. Matter of fact, I think the Terrifics might be the only safe book in that lineup. And I would be surprised if maybe that the Terrifics is not pushed from the New Age of Heroes line into DC proper. It's very possible, in particular if all the other books start getting canceled. Now, I do love the majority of these books. There's been ups and downs on most of them, but that's to be expected. I do really enjoy all of them, but I just don't see the sales warranting them continuing doing these books. So we'll see how that goes. We'll talk about this again in 6 months, because I do predict that in 6 months' time, we'll start seeing cancellation notices on these titles. For now, they'll be at $2.99. And of course, the rest of the DC line at $3.99. I think I'm okay with it. The only thing that concerns me with, you know, first Marvel going full $3.99 and now DC going full $3.99 is that this may impact other publishers negatively as well. And some of those publishers will have to start going up even higher to $4.99 or $5.99. Now, I don't see like Image doing that, but some of the smaller publishers, it's very possible if the reason for this price increase is, you know, paper cost or, you know, publishing costs or whatever, it's very possible that they will have to raise these prices as well. And as a result, that's going to price them out of the market for a lot of people. And for a lot of people, they're already priced out of the market, even at $3.99. So, of course, go back and check out that discussion. I did have a poll on Twitter, and the majority of people said $3.99 is probably the limit, but even that's too high. So we'll see what this means for comics going forward. Again, once you start having lower sales, you kind of need to start increasing your prices in order to make up for the difference. And that may be what's happening here, even though DC's had some really high-selling books. All right, and now it's time for the Comic Predictor, the segment that I do every week. Usually I try to put this out a little bit earlier, but this is the segment in which I talk about books that are coming out this week that I think are worth picking up if you want to try something new. And first up is going to be a Walk Through Hell number 1. This is from Aftershock Comics, and it's Garth Ennis, Goran Suzuka, and Andy Clark. I have had the pleasure of reading this book. If you are an X-Files fan, go pick this up. Do I have to tell you any more? I mean, really, it's two detectives, they walk in a warehouse, crazy stuff happens, and a mystery ensues. It's Garth Ennis! So I'm very much looking forward to seeing what people think about a Walk Through Hell. Go check this out. I think it's going to be the highlight of many people's weeks. Next up, I want to talk about Aether Copper Golems number 1. This is from Dark Horse Comics, and it's, of course, the sequel to, I think it was last year, Aether. This is the sequel, Copper Golems. It's written by Matt Kent with art by David Rubin, and the first series was absolutely fantastic. And I cannot wait to see where they take this book going forward. It was very imaginative. It was almost like a Don Quixote in a weird magical universe mixed with science, mixed with family baggage. I don't know. There was a lot to dig into there. I'm very happy that Matt's continuing with Aether doing Copper Golems, and I think this one will surprise a lot of people. If you have not picked up the first series, I highly, highly recommend it. Paul and I did a special, kind of like a book review episode. I believe we put it out on the Nerdy Legion podcast feed, so go check that out if you can find it. It's very well worth it. Again, that's Ether number one, Ether Copper Golems number one from Dark Horse Comics. Coming at you from DC, the new Challengers, Challengers of the Unknown. And I talked a little bit about this on Monday's episode, that I was very much looking forward to this. It's one of those Kirby things that I've enjoyed, and I'm glad that they're redoing with a new creative team. I'm still a little iffy because it's Scott Snyder, but again, I got to get out of that mindset. So I'm trying to go in as cleanly as I can with zero expectations of what this will be. But Scott Snyder with art by Andy Kubert, and this is from DC Comics. Spinning out of Dark Knight Metal, of course. I mean, aren't all these books spinning out of Dark Knight Metals? But yeah, looking forward to this one. Cover looks awesome, and I do dig some Challengers. So again, new Challengers number one from DC Comics. While we're on the DC front, my favorite book. Well, is it my favorite? Maybe my number two book behind Astro City. The Wildstorm is back with issue number 13. This will be the start of a new arc. Let me tell you, there's a lot of people that I talk to about this book, and they're like, yeah, I'll get to it. And they're not too excited about it. They go out, they give it a shot, and they just cannot stop reading it and read 5 issues at a time, the whole 12 issues that have come out at a time. This is really a fascinating book, and it's written by Warren Ellis with art by John Davies Hunt, who is absolutely phenomenal. Did I mention I love Warren Ellis? Yeah, you should know that by now. I love Warren Ellis. He's the best. And I've been thoroughly enjoying this reimagining of the Wildcats and the entire Wildstorm universe. What Warren Ellis is doing with Thing is just superb. It is like meta commentary on 90s comics, but updated to current times, and just, it's like an espionage corporate thriller thing. Oh man, it's fantastic. The Wildstorm number 13, cannot say good things enough, or enough good things about it. Warren Ellis, John Davies Hunt, pick that up. I know I'll be talking about it on Top of the Pile this weekend for sure. Finally, I have to give a shout out to Heavenly Blues number 6. This is from Scout Comics. This is the final issue for Warning, but I've been picking this up since issue 1, written by Ben Kahn with art by Bruno Hidalgo, and it's just extremely creative. The only issue with this book is that you cannot pick it up digitally, unfortunately, but thoroughly enjoyed all 5 issues of this, and I cannot wait for this final issue to come about. It's pretty much a story of, we'll say, heaven, except the characters that are there are kind of redeemed criminals, and maybe they embark on a criminal activity in order to steal the Holy Grail. I don't know. There's a lot going on here, but it's freaking awesome. The art is incredible as well. Ben Kahn will actually be my guest next Thursday on Therapy Thursday. Not this week, next week's episode of Therapy Thursday. So pick up Heavenly Blues. Of course, he and I will be talking about the series and what else he's been working on as well. So check that out. Heavenly Blues number 6 from Scout Comics. And finally, one that I'm going to be picking up that's kind of on my radar, but this is kind of a bonus pick, is Rot number 1 from Sourcepoint Press. This is written by David Hayes and Sean Seal, and this has to do with a military guy who undergoes some experiments, and now he may be some sort of vampire, zombie, demon guy. I don't know. The synopsis kind of grabbed me. Here, I'll read the synopsis. Maybe it'll grab you. Waking up in a field, the thing that used to be known as Dwight Cochran rises. His memory's vague, his body weak, he finds strength and lucidity after feeding, stealing the life force of living things through prehensile dead tissue in his hair and nails. His memory returns of his work as a contract killer, his time on death row, his terminal cancer, and his zealous faith. When a maniacal government scientist performs experiments on Cochran for the military, what did they create? And how much destruction will their creation leave in its wake? I don't know, maybe it's got like a Spawn feel, maybe that's why I dig it. And of course, I love horror books, and this looks like it will be a good horror slash military, I don't know, action book, and that excites me. So I have enjoyed other books from Sourcepoint Press. I'll be picking up Rot number 1 as well. And I think that's going to wrap it up for this episode of Comic Talk Today. Thanks for listening. Enjoy your new comic book day. I hope your basket of books is filled with joy and goodness. I will be back tomorrow with Therapy Thursday. My guest will be inker extraordinaire, creator of Death Betty from Novelty Comics. Ryan Wynn will be on the show. Catch you then.